One, two, three, four, just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day, yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
Thank you for listening to our show. I'm Ryan. That's Dave and Bobby. How you doing? Okay, I want to go right into a topic because I do not follow award shows.
Really? That surprised me.
I don't.
Yeah, your gruff voice and MMA background just scream you're a Golden Globes queen.
Okay, here's why. I mean, I used to. When I was a kid, I used to really like watching the Academy Awards and stuff because I was into acting and I've always loved movies. The reason why is if you go and research who the winners were, like the year that like really classic films were nominated,
right,
it will infuriate you. Just go back and research like the 70s Academy Awards, like, fucking Star Wars lost a Funny Girl? What the fuck is this? So, like, what world are we living in? So, it'll show you, like, it's the same reason I don't like, you know, stand-up comedy competitions. It's just like, I'm like, it's subjective, you know? Art shouldn't be judged.
And sometimes it's comparing apples to oranges, right?
Yes,
like, sometimes you could be like, oh, this comedian and this comedian, this one's funnier. But sometimes it's like, hey, man, Louis C.K. is funny in one way. Bill Burr's funny in another way.
Right.
I love them both, and I wouldn't want to go, oh, this one's funnier.
Right, exactly.
Well, the award shows, too, you got to keep in mind that popularity of a movie does not necessarily equate to it winning awards. Like, I would never expect Star Wars to win awards.
Right, yeah, that's true, too. But also think about, like, some of the quote-unquote best movies ever in terms of awards have been like snooze fest, man. This fucking movie that just won a Golden Globe, Lady Bird, I think it's called. Mm. I read the synopsis and I nodded off twice.
He's like, there's no birds in this movie.
Was that about Hank Hill's dog?
It was about Lyndon B. Johnson, his wife. So anyways, one thing, though, has just happened at the Golden Globes that I find fucking infuriating. Get Out. By Jordan Peele.
It's a horror movie, right?
It's you know, some say it's a horror movie, some say it's a thriller. That's the debate,
right?
Whether is it a thriller or is it a horror movie? And what it really is, and there's no secret about it, I wouldn't say it's heavy-handed, but it's very clear that it's about race relations at its core, and about you know, Whitey's rape of the black culture. Absolutely, it is, you know. And it was I think it got something like 99% on Rotten Tomatoes.
It's a good movie. I saw
it. Great movie. I loved it.
Yeah, like that was one of the perfect movies of last year. Guess what category it went into?
Horror. Maybe
there's
action.
Not a category for that in the Golden Globes.
Action or thriller?
Documentary.
It went into Best Picture. Musical or comedy?
Which one did they think it was?
Someone sing in that movie briefly?
It's ludicrous either way.
You're right. There was a singing scene, and also I think there were some ominous tones in the background of some of the scenes.
I think when she's clanking that spoon against the teacup, that like counts as an instrumental. No, honestly,
they were going for comedy, is what you're saying.
It is so, I don't know if to call it funny or tragic,
right,
that somebody watched this fucking heavy ass movie and went, fucking classic. Like, you just watch this thing that's like basically saying, this is essentially what the white man's doing to the black man in modern suburbia, and so on. Good stuff, boy.
Not only that, but think about everybody who made a legitimate comedy that year. They're like, what the fuck? It was such a shallow field, you couldn't even take an actual comedy movie?
I haven't laughed that hard since Schindler's List. I mean, seriously, first of all, how does Jordan Peele feel when he's almost, like, he almost made it. He almost fucking made this perfect movie that was like, audience and critics agree was great. It had, you know, and of course there was some comic relief to it. He's a comedian. But, I mean, he must feel like, all right, I did it. I reached the people. I reached them. They finally understand. And then someone went, comedy.
The comedy is just nominating this as a comedy. Like, there was some backstage guy who was working for the awards. He's like, you know what the best joke of this year is going to be? This as a comedy.
No, that's what I was thinking. Jordan probably, he probably appreciates it. He's like, that's really meta. You fucking got me.
Yeah, I made a movie about how fucking, you know, the white man doesn't understand the black man. I made it a thriller and the white man put it into comedy. By the way, speaking of award shows, did I tell you guys, like, this thing I've been doing this with past Academy Award
shows? You've been giving out your own awards and correcting.
You get it, Pulp Fiction. Fuck you, Forrest Gump.
I sit there in a room in a tuxedo with all these awards and go, Spacey doesn't get it this time.
And then you go, and you get the award for fake news.
So I went back and I looked up all the Academy Awards from 1974 to 1994.
Okay.
Took a really long time. I guess I have too much free time.
Yeah, must be.
But anyways, it took me about like a week. It's fucking, it was extensive. I looked up all the winners and I realized that I've not seen some of the great films. You know, I consider myself a film buff, but I'm like, you know, I've heard of all these movies,
right.
Certainly, but you ever have that where a movie, you know, it's a classic, but it just feels like homework?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I didn't watch The Godfather until I was like 29.
Yeah.
And the difference is that's really a good movie. That will actually occupy your time. You'd be like, wow, this is a good movie.
It was.
But then sometimes you have like the ones that were, you realize like movie making has really progressed a long way.
Yeah.
And they, you know, for all the, hey, that was the golden age of film and stuff, to be honest, they didn't know what the fuck they were doing back in the day. Like, they couldn't get scene progression. They didn't understand the timing. Maybe it was a different generation who liked different timing of things. If you look at just the DP work, it's crappy. Like, a lot of times the actual shots are done and you're like, dude, an undergrad at UCLA can do way better than this right now.
Dude, have you watched most films from like the 50s? There's like so much non-dialogue. They'll send a whole scene of a dude walking down a street to work. And eventually, I guess in like the late 60s, like, we could probably cut that out.
Not just that.
And then
just
Tarantino's like, nah, I like that.
And then if you look at like how shitty they did, like there's this whole thing you can do. You can go online and look up John Wayne movies where he's a cowboy and they're made in like the 60s and stuff like that.
Spaghetti Westerns.
All John Wayne movies.
But there's a bunch of like 747s in the background because they didn't fucking think to just be like, well, maybe we shouldn't film when the plane goes over.
Yeah, one of the fucking guys, cowboys, has sunglasses on.
That was Django.
So anyways, here's my rules for rewatching all these movies. All right. So first of all, I have to watch all the winners of each year for Best Picture.
Okay.
Except I get a pass if it's a romantic anything, because if it's about like two people that meet in New York in autumn and one of them's dying and they fall in love,
not doing Steel Magnolias.
Yeah, there's no nutrients to that for me. Anything by Woody Allen, I get a pass on because fuck that guy.
Okay.
So I don't have to watch a Woody Allen movie.
I like that.
Otherwise, I have to watch all the winners. Uh-huh. And then I also have to watch any movie that was nominated in more than two categories, the big four.
Okay.
So I mean, there's like all this shit, like Prince of Tides.
Okay.
No surfing in that movie, by the way. Just some pretty heavy child rape.
Wow.
And I was not prepared for it. I'm like, that's the thing. You got to force yourself to watch some of these. You're like, all right.
Do you, though? I mean,
I mean, Dave and I haven't, so I guess you don't have to.
I feel like your rules for watching movies is like the cinematic equivalent of like, this bus can't go below 55 miles an hour. It's going to blow up. Really? Well, but why?
Well, and let's expand on them, Ryan. I don't know why you're stopping there. You should really get into it where you're like, I have to watch it wearing the clothes of the era, drinking Tang, like just all that shit.
Don't fucking tempt me. Don't fucking tempt me. So, and by the way, Erin is not into it. She's like, this is stupid. Why
That's
are you
so
doing
surprising
this?
To me.
Turns out you can not do
she
it.
She goes to bed like a couple hours
Erin,
before
you're
I
breaking
do.
The rules.
This TV's going to explode.
It will. I rigged it. So she's like, I'm going to bed.
He's
jigsawing
like, himself with the movies.
And dude, so these are not my type of movies, too, man. Like, I'm like Terms of Endearment. I'm like, what the hell is that? Oh, goddamn! It's more than one category. Let's go. I read them, but you know what? I feel like I'm getting something out of it because now I'm seeing all these movies. I can finally be a snob about something.
Right.
I can finally be like, actually, Kramer versus Kramer was a very intricate story about the divorce proceedings and how men are treated unfairly in the courts.
I can do that too. I just go to Wikipedia and I read that page.
Maybe I should have done that.
Yeah. Though I do like what you're doing, Ryan, because it reminds me of something. You know, there's differences in the sexes, whether they're biological or cultural or whatever. And a lot of times it seems like men have it on the downside. We're more violent. We got a lot of other things. But there is a part of men that seems to be really focused on men. Men do this that I love, which is self-torture.
Yeah.
We set ourselves up with these booby traps and say, I have to follow these rules.
Yes, I have to do it. It's like I'm doing it with this. Like, I have a thing that once I start something, I have to finish it.
Yeah.
Because if I break that rule, I'll never finish anything.
Right. And not just that, but we do it among ourselves. Like, I remember I spent half of high school getting punched in the balls by my friends. Why? Because at one point it was deemed funny to punch one guy in the balls. And from then on, if you hit certain circumstances and your friend's balls were uncovered, you had to punch it. And I had a girlfriend at one point ask me, like, why are you, doesn't that hurt? And I was like, yeah, it hurts a lot.
Yeah, you have like, no idea.
And she's like, why are you doing it? And I was like, well, I mean, we set these rules up ahead of time. We got to follow him.
Ball game.
Yeah. She pointed out, she's like, we're all hanging out. You guys are friends. You hang out all the time. Every one of you is on edge, looking back and forth, waiting to get essentially stabbed in the back. Why don't you stop and enjoy your lives? And I was like, it'd be breaking the rules.
Yeah, I'm in the background there like, hey, guys, can you keep it down? I got Pritzy's Honor on here, please. So anyway, no, we had a game like that, too. It was a little different. We had to slap each other in the face game. Now, how this worked... again, if
sounds complicated, please explain.
I don't think he needs to explain. I think we all have done that.
Well, there's rules to it because, I mean, nowadays, if you just walk up and tag someone in the face, you're in a fight.
Yeah.
But, like, we had rules set up to where, like, if you weren't paying attention, someone could just open hand palm you across the face.
Yeah.
And you could not retaliate immediately. You had to wait until they were off guard.
Yep.
And there was like some rules, like if you blocked it, then you got to like get them in the nuts or something.
Yeah, yeah. It's like you catch the ball in dodgeball.
Yeah. And again, like we'd be at a party talking to girls and all of a sudden I'd be like, dude, Will's open. And they'd be like, so you play guitar? That's like, oh!
I mean, that was part of the game, is that the bigger the consequences, the more fun it was to inflict the punishment.
Yes!
And also...
if you did it in front of girls, that was just bonus points.
Oh, yeah. There is a part of me that I think really shaped a good part of my personality in that... those games, those type of things that I did with my dude friends, when I got punched in the nuts, I didn't think, fuck that guy, he just walked up and punched in the nuts. I thought, stupid me, I left my nuts open for punching. That is my fault.
And that's the value of the game.
Yes, the accountability.
Although, I had a friend that he was not ever good with women. Like, I think he's had sex twice in his whole life. anyway, we were in Vegas. He met some girl, and she was really digging. I'm like, finally, he's going to get laid a third time.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, he's left himself open.
Yeah.
And so I tag him across the face, and he just absorbs it, like, ah, good one. And this girl who's just met him, I can see in her eyes, she thinks that, like, I'm just his bully, and like, he's like this beta male.
Yeah.
And so I take him aside, I'm like, hey, come here, you gotta tag me back across the face in front of that girl. He's like, what? It's not part of the game. Like, forget the fucking game right now. Forget the fucking game right now. We're gonna go back to the table. I'm gonna set my Budweiser on the table, and you are going to just lay into me, and then I want you to call me a bitch. And he's like, I don't understand. I'm like, I know you don't.
Stand over me and piss on me.
I and beat your chest.
I love that kind of accountability. That to me is one of the like the good parts of male-male relationships.
Yeah.
Like I said, there's the bad parts of male-male relationship. That's to me is the pinnacle of some of the good things, and the accountability of, this is my fault that I am being physically abused. I did something wrong. He loves me.
And the thing
so
is,
basically all male relationships are just Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. One of my favorite ones when I was in college, I don't know if I've told this story before, but we had a game in our fraternity, or I guess it's a common thing called Cuffs and Cases. Have you guys done this before?
It sounds gay as
fuck.
It does. Go ahead.
So you get together with a sorority. You have these things called exchanges. So an entire sorority comes over to your fraternity.
It's like sex trafficking. Yeah. Go ahead.
You get paired off with one of them. They handcuff you together.
Oh, stop, Bobby. Before you admit something you can't take back.
The two of you have to finish a case.
Oh, God.
Which is usually...
You finish a what?
A case of beer.
Okay.
What
women like are drinking cases of beer?
Well, that puts a lot of responsibility on you.
Most girls I know are like, they max out like three beers and they get full.
So the traditional one is you have 12 beers, but because there are issues, sometimes that gets knocked down to a six-pack of beer. But the idea
is... I'm a recovering alcoholic! Drink it, bitch!
You're going to recover, all right?
I didn't make the rules. You did, though. Yeah, but I can't break it.
Yeah, we're a guy. So you did that, and then the rule was you couldn't get uncuffed until you finished the case, which meant if you messed up your when-you-have-to-pee schedule wrong, it was going to be very awkward because you would have to pee with this person.
Hey, that's the fun part,
oh,
huh?
Shit, this makes sense. Now, you remember, Ryan, you remember for Bobby's wedding, he wanted you and I to teach the lockpick station.
How to get out of handcuffs.
This is why Bobby developed that skill.
You need to get out of there. No, because I'd be breaking the rules, Dave. He'd never break the torture rules. And I had
he was dressed as a cop, hence the cuffs.
I had a buddy who... we were doing cuffs and cases. Me and the girl I was
you
with...
You did it with another dude?
No, but me and the girl I was with finished ours, and my buddy, who's in the fraternity, he was still handcuffed to his girl, and he was walking around, and he was doing the thing where he wasn't paying attention, and so I would run into the other room while he was talking to a bunch of people.
Kick him in the nuts, slap him in the face, games.
I slapped him in the face. I would run in, slap him in the face from behind, and run out. So he turned around trying to get me and like yanked on the handcuffs, and this girl... I was out of the room by the time she got yanked around. So all she knew is throughout the night, he would periodically jerk her hand and scream at somebody.
I thought you were going to say that he turned around and punched her thinking she did it.
Wait a second.
Oh, God.
So I did this to him throughout the night, and it was really funny. Then, at the end of the night, funny enough, and this was back when I was single, I actually found myself talking to the girl he was handcuffed to. So, like, they got uncuffed.
Did you bang?
I'm talking to this girl, and we're sitting on the stairs, and we're just sitting there talking, having fun. He comes up to me, and now he's uncuffed. And so he looks at me, and he's been looking around to the whole party for me, and he sees me, and he goes, I bet you thought that was pretty funny. I bet you thought doing that all day was pretty funny. I was like, yeah, I did. That was hilarious. She doesn't know what's going on, because to her, she just thinks this guy's an asshole who's been yanking her around.
There's just
all
a couple of insane people having a convo right in front of her.
And so he goes, oh, yeah, well, good slaps. And to that, I just wanted to respond. And this is where he made his mistake. He announced he was going to hit me, and then he pulled back and swung at me. And this is in the time where I'm in the middle of a training camp. It is the middle of the fight season. I am boxing 3 to 4 hours a day. So he throws this sloppy slap punch at me that you see coming from a mile away, and you don't even think about it.
Super telegraph.
Yeah, you don't think about it. You just instantly move out of the way. It's what you're programmed to do. But that means that slap breezes right by my face and slaps her right in the jaw. And
this poor fucking girl, did you buy her something?
Well, here's the best part. Think of her interpretation of what happened.
I don't care about her interpretation. She's been abused and terrorized all night.
To her interpretation, she's sitting on the steps talking to this guy. Then the guy who she thinks has been a jerk to her all night walks up, starts a weird confrontation with the dude she's talking about. She looks away so as not to be in an awkward situation. And then he says, bet you thought that was funny, and slaps her.
Now, what did she do? Did she fucking, like...
She got up and went, why? and then ran upstairs. And then I yelled, loudly proclaimed, man, you got a drinking problem, and followed her up.
I feel like a game like that where you're handcuffing women...
Yeah, to anything,
Wouldn't be hilarious in this climate.
It's voluntary.
Yeah, you can either volunteer to do this or get kicked out of your sorority.
Nah, it's fine.
I feel
we
like that
fun.
Was like maybe the origin of the Me Too movement.
We all had fun.
Speaking of the Me Too movement and awards, a bunch of hoopla about James Franco.
Right. And this one is a little bit off to me, because I actually really like this movement of exposing kind of like shitty dudes. Like, because I've been around those shitty dudes before, and I've been like, dude, first of all, this guy is creepy, and the only ruining it for everyone, and the only recourse I have is to kind of like tell my female friends, hey, don't hang out with this guy.
Don't be in a don't get handcuffed to him. He will slap you.
Right. I'm not a law enforcement officer. I can't arrest this person.
You just pretend to be often.
Yeah. So I like the bringing that to light thing. The one thing that I don't like is when people then take that very legitimate movement and say there's this monster, Harvey Weinstein, he's doing these things, and then they kind of like extrapolate that bubble till the definitions of what is assault or what is wrong get too blurry, and then include people who don't include it. Now listen, I don't know James Franco, I don't know what his deal is, maybe he's got some bad shit in his closet, but the one that got me kind of pissed was one of the women who tweeted like blah 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 that James Franco's a sexual assaultist. They're like, what's your story? And she went, he offered me the daily minimum for a nude scene. What the fuck? That's not sexual assault. That's a job offer. Yeah. You can refuse it. And then when somebody retweeted her, you could have just said no. She was like, I'm an actress. If I say no, I can't pay my bills. It's like, then pick another job or understand that somebody offering you money to be nude on film, if you don't like it, that's great. I wouldn't do that either. Just don't take the job. But you can't then accept that job and then come back and be like, that was sexual assault.
Yeah, you know, I mean, and I've felt that way from the early beginnings of this movement. I'm like, I think if we keep expanding this definition, eventually it's going to take away from the gravity of it, because once you have someone like, well, this man said you dropped your smile once when I was in Starbucks, and that's sexual assault. Yeah. And I'm like, if you have enough people like that out there, every time someone says Me Too, it's going to have a bunch of people going, oh, fuck that.
Yeah.
And you don't want that. You want to keep the definition strict.
Yeah, and it was infuriating to watch that. Now, he has some other stuff. I guess people were like, oh, yeah, he slept with some young girls and he used his celebrity. Like, of course he used his celebrity to sleep with girls. Was any of it illegal? Did he have any statutory rape? And they're like, well, it looks like one time he tried to sleep with a 17-year-old. And I was like, interesting, except in the state he was in, that's legal. To me, it's creepy, but it's not illegal, and it's not like assault. It's not, it's like, all right, that's a guy I know I probably wouldn't want hanging out with my young daughters or something like that, but he is not a sexual assaultist.
And by the way, he didn't like lock her in a hotel room and block the door. He hit her up on Instagram, and he's like, and he's too dumb to know how Instagram works, so he didn't realize it was public. He's like, hey, met you tonight at the awards thing. What are you doing later? She's like, I'm 17. He's like, oh shit, bye. And then everyone's like, aha, rapist.
So, yeah, it would be nice if what we said to that is like, hey, this guy has a predilection for going for, you know, young girls, which is kind of weird. I don't know. Dave might know more about it than we do. Dave, technically, you might be called out in the Me Too movement.
Yeah.
What kind of questions you got?
Is there a 20-year age gap between you and the person? When I see those, I'm like, come on, guys. Let's A, not do this, and B, let's kind of call it out when that happens. Let's say to that woman, hey, sexual assault's a real thing. You getting offered $100 a day to do a nude scene you didn't want to do is not sexual assault.
Yeah, and it's such a sensitive topic because you don't ever want to be on the wrong side of defining what is and isn't sexual assault, because then you look like a monster. You know, like you get put in the same category as the guy saying, oh, yeah, she was screaming no, but she was dressed that way. What'd you really think was going to happen? Like, you don't want to be put in that fucking category, but at the same time, like when I was single and dating, I remember specifically this one girl that I saw for like a couple weeks. She was like, I'm sorry, I'm weird about, you know, sex and things like that. I was raped. I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, I'm so sorry. I don't know what that must have been like. I'm like, and we dated further. I'm like, do you mind me asking, you know, what happened? She's like, well, it was my ex-boyfriend. I'm like, okay. She's like, we were together at the time. I really wasn't in the mood, but he was. So I said yes, and I'm like,
right.
Then he got rough with you? No. I'm like, I just really wasn't in the mood, but I'm like, oh my God, I'm a rapist. I've done that with every girlfriend. Oh no. Oh no. I've said like, you know, hey baby. And she went, and I went, please. She went, fine.
Yeah.
And that is exactly what happened to this girl. And like, she still talks about it.
Right.
I'm like, oh my God, what must people think of me?
And by the way, if that were the definition, then technically I'm also a slave for all the times I've done the dishes when I wasn't super into it. But it is, it's hard too, because then you mix that with
Aaron says, don't wake me up. Just do whatever you want. I'm like, really?
I'm sleeping.
I'm like, oh my God, does that count too?
I took some Benadryl. I'm good.
No, I slipped with the Benadryl in her Sprite.
All right, now we're getting into some Cosby territory. Dude, I just want to say one thing about the James Franco thing. I've never liked the dude. I just don't like him as a person, as an actor, whatever. Mm. But he did pull a move in the awards that I fucking loved. When they went up to accept the award, Tommy Wiseau moved to the microphone to start talking, and he blocked him from the mic. I thought that was amazing. A lot of people are like, that's fucked up, man. He's the reason you're up there, blah, blah.
I'm not
like,
really.
That guy, I finally watched The Room.
Yeah.
I didn't want to, but I did, just so I'm not the only person who hasn't seen
it. I ordered it from Big Frog. He sent
it
to me.
It's not even so bad it's good. It's just awful.
Yeah.
It's complete garbage.
Okay.
You're going to have to watch it just so we can talk about it. But
I've never understood the people that watch movies because they're so bad it's good.
Yeah.
That's like saying like, hey, you ever been to this restaurant? It's fucking disgusting. It makes me throw up. I eat there once a year because it's hilarious.
Well, there's some value to kitsch. Like, if you can appreciate kitsch, like one of my favorites is the 1984 self-help promotional video for kids that Mr. T made called Be Somebody or Be Somebody's Fool.
Yes.
Oh, you showed that to us and it was brilliant.
Yeah, it's really good.
What was your favorite part? Mine was, if you trip in public, just start breakdancing.
Nobody will even notice.
Right.
It's a great tactic. By the way, I use that in real life. It's a great tactic. I like that. I got a really soft spot in my heart to the Love Your Mother rap. The Love Your Mother rap is really good. But I also just love that you can see how culture has changed since 1984. You could never get away with that one, because throughout that entire video, they just harass this slightly chubby kid for being fat, and they make him so incompetent that he literally cannot slide down a slide. He tries to slide down a slide, and he fucks it up because he's a little fatty.
They just put him in the corner and like verbally abuse him in between takes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're still over there, fat ass.
Yeah, so with The Room, like, I don't even think it has kitsch value. It's just fucking garbage.
Yeah.
Like, people are just mistaking shitty movie for like, oh my God, that has some fucking amusement to it. No.
Yeah, well, I'm going to check it out. I prefer to watch it with friends because I don't think I can. Even with my sitting through Academy Awards movies that I find boring, like, even this is a stretch for me to watch alone.
If you watch it with friends, you might enjoy it a little more because you can make fun of it with other people.
Did you watch it alone?
Well, me and Carolyn watched it. And we were both just like, dude, this is fucking, this is terrible.
You have to Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Yeah, definitely. I could, if I watched it with Groobs,
yeah,
I would have enjoyed it. It still would have been a horrible movie, and I wouldn't recommend anyone else watch it, but Groobs and I would have had fun.
Anyway, speaking of age gaps, by the way, last night went out with the boys. We went to a bar near my house. And we've done comedy there, the Navajo Live.
Yeah.
But on Friday and Saturday nights, it turns into this total dad rock fest. There's a cover band that plays. I think it's the same guys each time. And they play like Three Doors Down and shit. And so like just all like top 40 hits from like 20 years ago. And it's always like some old ladies just dancing, doing their like white lady dancing having it after a few cocktails dance. So me and the guys went. We were just having some beers. And I did that thing because I was so heavily under the influence of tequila that I was like, hey, wouldn't it be hilarious if I went and danced with all those old broads? And I totally did. And, you know, my table's getting a kick out of it. You know, I'm like, hey, you know, and I'm like, in my mind, I'm not doing anything wrong because I'm like, look, this old, all the old ladies were into it. Like, oh my God, a 30-year-old, young stuff. So
plus, Ryan figured because of their age, there's no way you can get them pregnant. So there's nothing, nobody's getting hurt.
That too. So anyway, I'm dancing with them and they're having a great time. And, you know, I eventually step outside for a smoke and one of the old ladies followed me out.
Oh.
And I was like, so, want to get out of here? And I was like, no. And she's
like, yes, because this place kind of sucks, but not with
not
you.
Not with you.
Ryan's like, yes, I do, and he leaves.
And she goes, oh, well, do you want my number then? And I went, oh, no. And I didn't
Here's
have...
Here's a picture of my wife.
I didn't have... but the thing is, I was so fucked up, I had no, like, you know, soften the blow tools. You know, I wouldn't be like, oh, I could have easily pointed to my fucking ring finger and be like, sorry, I'm married, you know. Just something to be like, oh, I totally would, but I'm married. Something to soothe the ego.
Right.
But I just went, oh, gross. No! Now I'm worried about bar karma because I'm thinking one day, like, I don't know how I'll outlive Aaron with the way I drink, but I'm thinking she'll die first. I'll be an old widower. I'll go out to a bar and some young cute girl's going to start dancing up on me.
Right.
And I'll be like, hey, so do you want, like, oh, I was just making my table of friends laugh by dancing with the old gross dude. It's going to come back to me, man.
Well, let me just tell you, regardless of what you do to these old women, that is going to happen to you when you're older. There is no young woman who's going to be like, oh, yeah, 60-year-old dick, love it.
That's not true. Did you hear that fucking Trump fucked Stormy Daniels? No, that can happen.
That wasn't from sex appeal. That was from financial appeal.
Hey, I'm not ruling out that I won't be that rich someday, Bobby. Don't fucking doubt me.
I am.
We are.
All right, it's fair enough.
Yeah, you're talking about like the whole Trump thing where it just came out that apparently Trump banged some porn star back in the day.
And it sucks because
was it back in the day?
It was 2006. Okay. It wasn't that long ago. And it, like, that bummed me out because I'm like, I really liked that porn star too. And now I'm like, it's ruined.
She's tainted.
She can be gangbanged and I'm cool with it.
Right.
But think of that old orange bastard going, rah, rah, rah. I'm like, oh,
well,
God.
They gave a better visual representation too. Because what happened is she got paid off. They
Which
paid,
one was it?
Stormy Daniels.
Stormy Daniels, okay.
They paid her $130,000 to shut the fuck up right before the election.
Now, I didn't read the story, but I saw Alana Evans' name mentioned. And that
a different porn star.
Yeah, she's the one I was partial to. Oh, interesting. I got to read the story.
Well, both of them were at a golf tournament in 2006 and Trump was there. By the way,
I got to start hanging out at golf tournaments. There's porn stars there?
Just banging away.
That's nuts.
This is a year after Trump got married and a few months after his kid was born. And so he's at this golf tournament. He basically bangs this woman, pays to bang this woman.
Baron Von Smartass.
And not only that, but so the reason we know this, because that woman has got bought out to basically stay quiet. But her porn star friend was there at the same event. And Trump was having Stormy Daniels call her over and over and over again and be like, come on out. Come on. We're going to bang you. Let's do this. Like, and she was like, no, that's gross.
He wasn't just content getting a super hot porn star to fuck him. He wanted two. What a greedy bastard.
Stormy later relayed to her friend the next morning. She was like, what the fuck happened? The friend actually had to turn her cell phone off to stop getting the calls. Yeah. And then Stormy relayed her to the next morning. She's like, so what happened? She was like, just imagine that dude in his tidy whities chasing me around a hotel room all night.
That's so disgusting.
I know.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. He has the least sex appeal of anything I've ever seen before, including bullfrogs.
Here's what I love about the story, too, what came out as all this is unfolding, is they paid her off $130,000, right? And they paid her off in 2016, right before the election. So what they did is they basically said, oh, shit, this is going to come out because got to some news source. And so they're like, we got to shut her up. We'll pay her the money. And so they agreed to pay the money. And then she came out to the news source and said, nothing happened. Nothing. It's fine. And as usual, Trump did not pay his bill because he never pays his bill. He doesn't pay his contractors or anything like that. So they didn't actually pay her. And it was getting to the point where she goes, I'm coming out if you don't send a fucking check.
Yeah.
And then she shut up. So clearly, eventually she got
paid.
Oh,
shit.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
But they didn't pay off the other porn star. And that's the problem.
Yeah. That's great. I love it.
Oh, man. Seriously, though. That chick has probably been, like, gangbanged by, like, herpes riddled fucking porn guys. And I'm like, eh, it's no big deal. And all of a sudden, Trump's in the equation. I'm like, right. Oh.
Yeah, you can watch her with Ron Jeremy, who's not a good-looking guy, and be like, they'd be okay with it.
Yeah.
And, but Trump, no, too far.
I wouldn't say okay with it. Have you ever been watching porn with, like, your girlfriend or wife, and, like, you know, it's like, oh, this is getting hot. And all of a sudden, like, a really gross dude enters the situation, and you're like, let's turn this off.
You got to flip the script in your head, bro. You got to be like, if he can get her, well, then I.
Yeah, I think that might be the appeal of why there's so many gross dudes in porn.
I think
that's where the appeal is.
It's not like we're making porn for women. The porn is for the men. So the only position they have to fill is guy I could pretend is me.
Yeah, 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 I guess so.
And speaking of interesting things Trump is doing, and his Attorney General Jeff Sessions just last week basically redeclared war on pot by taking away the Obama administration's guidance to the federal government to say you can't go after people who are legally using in their states by state laws. He revoked that because he wants to get rid of medical and recreational marijuana, and there's a big hubbub now. It's causing a whole bunch of problems, but California's recreational marijuana just went into effect the beginning of this year. Now, technically, it went in effect last year, but the rule was you could get recreational marijuana from a friend. It could be given to you, but you couldn't sell recreational marijuana until January 1st of 2018. So the pot shops are packed. The line's out the door. I went to go check it out because just, you know, why not? Let's go see what this looks like. I went with a friend one time. The line was too long. We had to leave. I went another time. The line was too long. I had to go to a different one.
It's like going to In-N-Out Burger.
It is. And yeah, I waited forever, finally went in. And it's kind of cool, the idea you can just walk in. I mean, we've had the medical dispensaries for a while. It's kind of neat that you can walk in and go bust around and check stuff out. But I got to tell you, I would not have thought this until I went to the pot store myself. I think this is actually going to cause a resurgence of what I call the guy. Like, I have a guy, right? Before going to the pot store, we all had a guy that would come by, or you would go to their place and you'd pick up your stuff. And I thought opening everything up for recreation would kill that business, because all of a sudden you can just go to Walmart, right? And you buy it there. I'm starting to rethink that, because obviously the lines will die down eventually. It's not always going to be like this. But the money is crazy. It is do you guys know what the tax is on medical
marijuana?
Recreational marijuana?
Probably high. I've been saying that forever.
30%. 30 motherfucking percent. Which means when you go out, I went out to go buy it, and it's not like super cheap anyway. They're kind of already, they're on the higher side of pricing, and which you would not expect. But you take that and then you're like, holy shit, I bought 2/8 and it cost me $90. What the fuck? And it used to be that you could do that much, much cheaper. And I kind of think I'm going to go back to the guy. Like, okay. I like my guy. He's got good stuff. You know, you don't need...
But is the guy still in business? Okay.
Yeah, he is now, and I hope he stays that way. That 30% tax, man, that really bites it. And then the weight on top of that, and the fact that the prices aren't... You expected the prices to drop because all of a sudden it's legal and there's stores in competition and stuff. They didn't really drop.
I was worried about your guy because your guy's my friend. I was worried he'd be like... Ah, crap, it's legal. Now I have to sell coke.
Yeah. No, I'm going back to my guy, your friend, both of our friends.
Yeah.
Good guy and provides very good stuff and does it at a very good price. And I don't have to wait in line forever and I don't have to pay 30% tax. And by the way, that guy, you might be like, yeah, but he's a scumbag. You should pay the taxes to the state. No, no, no. That guy actually does more with that money than the state does.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
That guy is involved in a lot of charities and gives a lot of money to it. So I'll take that guy over.
Yeah, that's a good guy. That's
anymore.
A good guy to have.
And another disaster that happened today. This morning, the morning we're recording this is Saturday. I just woke up to find out that a whole bunch of people in Hawaii got the fuck scared out of them.
What happened about this?
No, I did not.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
So they're waiting there. They're just sleeping in and they get
8 a.m.
They get a beep on their phone. Think of the Amber Alert.
Have
you gotten those?
Yeah.
It's like that, except it says, warning, incoming ballistic missile.
What?
This is not a drill.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
And they thought they were getting bombed by fucking North Korea, which, you know, if this had happened, I don't know, 10 years ago, you'd probably be like, I don't know. That seems weird. But in this political climate, with North Korea's ballistic missiles, you're like, fuck. So I just imagine a bunch of people in Hawaii scrambling around like ants trying to burrow holes underneath their house.
Bro, dude,
I could not imagine how I would react to that.
Isn't it realistic to say that at least one person would put a gun to his head like, I'm going out on my terms? Yeah. Like, something very real could have happened.
Some heart attack deaths.
Yeah, something. Dude, absolutely.
How much time elapsed until they said, oh, false alarm? I think it was like 40-some minutes.
I thought it was 38 minutes.
Callens would be like, I downed that bottle of Johnny Walker Blue Label like the guy from Animal House. I needed an ambulance immediately.
Dude, that'd be the most terrifying 40 minutes of my life.
Yes.
Just people doing all the coke they have in their house. Yeah. Just
people just sobbing.
Ooh. Yeah. So they tested out their alarm system.
It wasn't a test. It was a mistake.
It was a mistake.
Now, what's funny is, as we get further and further into technology, where more and more people have the single-handed ability to destroy the world. I mean, if you think about it, 65 years ago, there wasn't a single... 75 years ago, there wasn't a single person on the face of the earth...
No one's going to fact-check you on this podcast. Who could have stuck with 60.
Oh, no. Remember the squirrel thing? the raccoons with thumbs?
They couldn't destroy the world with a single push of a button. Now, there's a lot of people who can. Like, if the United States launched their missiles, Russia would launch their missiles, we're all dead. If North Korea launches, China launches, Israel launches, France launches, England launches. There's so many nuclear powers that there are so many people that could theoretically...
They had to come up with a term, mutually assured destruction.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah.
And we had this instance that happened. They only declassified it a few years ago, but there was an instance that happened in the early 90s while the Cold War was still kind of fizzling out, where, or maybe been the late 80s, where... A nuclear commander of a subgroup for Russia was out in the Atlantic, and he got the message because there was another mistaken, hey, the United States has launched their missiles at us, and they ordered him, hey, blow the fuck out of the United States. And he's sitting there on top of a whole bunch of nuclear warheads. Mm. He's been told to launch them. If he launches them, then the U.S. will launch theirs. But
well, as far as he knows, they have.
Yeah, he thinks they have.
Right.
And he takes 2 seconds and he goes, well, maybe Moscow is going to be destroyed. Maybe my homeland is going to be destroyed. But that doesn't mean the whole world needs to die. And so I'm not going to launch. And
nice.
Didn't launch. And we are here today because that man chose not to do that. There's actually another instance that I just heard about recently from a researcher who does a lot of solar flare research. And I guess back in like the 60s or something, there was some solar storm.
Do you just know every nerd?
I know. I was just thinking, that's got to be one of the nerdiest fields to be in. Hey, I'm solar flare researcher.
I just met the guy. And let me tell you, you are not wrong. he was telling me the story about the late 60s where a bunch of solar flares set off the detectors to make it seem like missiles were being launched. And everybody was scrambling to launch missiles back. And there was one solar flare researcher in Australia, because it was the 60s, so there's only one of those guys, and he's like frantically calling everybody on like an old rotary dial phone, like yelling, like, don't launch, don't launch!
Oh god, I hope there's not too many zeros in this guy's number.
It's the sun!
Launch him at the sun.
That's how Nuclear Man was made.
Dude, I have to believe though that at least it was 8 a.m. If that happened like midday, I think it would have been much more panic.
Yeah.
See, David and I talked about this. I disagree with Dave. I think you're more likely to hear it at 8 a.m. because I think you're either sleeping or getting up or whatever. I think you're around your cell phone. It's probably charging near you. It's quiet.
At
That's
8
the big deal.
People can sleep through it. Not everyone has their phone by them while they're sleeping. I think it affected fewer people.
Yeah.
The only way to test this is to do another...
It was Hawaii. Fake. They're all sleeping.
We need to do another
people are lazy.
Fake Hawaiian launch at noon and see what happens.
Well, we can't do Hawaii, though, because they're going to be... They've got one under their belt. We've got to go, like, maybe something coast. Maybe San Diego.
Oh, by the way...
can you set that up?
I can.
What is the point of that thing anyway? If there's a fucking nuclear missile coming at you, what is knowing about it going to help?
Like, well, they said, like...
Get under the desk.
Yeah. I think you could take some iodine if you want to get away some of the effects of radiation if you plan on surviving the blast. And I don't know, maybe you can get into your bunker if you got one. I'm not sure, but yeah, you know what?
Anyone that has a bunker deserves to die.
No, you know what?
People are nuts.
I'm going to go against you on this one, Ryan. I want to know when that bomb is coming. I want to have that 30 minutes to know. I think that's a good 30. I think you just turn to your wife and you're like, I got to get one more bang in.
No. I just want to all of a sudden be here and then not. That's fine with me. I just want to not know I'm dead.
I don't know if I'd be able to bang knowing that I'm about to die.
No, yeah.
Oh, I'm trying to set a record. Let's see if we can get 3 in 30 minutes, babe.
I thought you already had that record.
He's at Smart and file the cashier's like, no.
Yeah, that would be funny too. I would like to see this actually. Think of all the people who, I know it's Hawaii and there's not a lot of people working at 8 a.m. on a Saturday, but there's some, right? So imagine all the people at the cashier station at Vons at 8 a.m. and they get this blip on their phone. Like, do you think they just sprint to the alcohol aisle and start downing some Jack Daniels?
I know, no, I would. Sure.
Yeah, I'm waiting to hear the stories of like what happened, because some shit had to
have happened. Yes, there's no way somebody's like, well, I still have 2 hours on my shift, yeah, so I can't leave the cashier
station. Oh, I know at least one person turned to his boss and went, fuck you, motherfucker. And all of a sudden there's like, this was a mistake.
Boy, said, this was also a mistake.
I feel like I made a huge error here.
I was testing your defenses, sir.
I wanted to see what fortitude you had.
Speaking of fortitude, Ryan, we had a fucking awesome show this week.
Great show at the Burning Beard Brewery, man.
If you guys in San Diego, if you're a comedian or if you're just a regular person, go there. They have a great staff, great beer, great setup. But if you're a comedian and you get offered a show there, cancel every other show you get offered if it's on the same date, because that was an amazing audience. And more than just an amazing audience and a great room, it's staff that treats you really, really well as a performer.
So, and again, we've talked about this before. As performers, like, you're not used to getting treated the best.
Yeah,
it's a field where, like, I almost think that some venues are like, I wonder how shitty we could treat these guys. Let's put out cockroaches on a little tray and then put it out as hors d'oeuvres. Let's see.
Dude, like, the cutest moment to me was when the woman who set it all up, Shannon.
Shannon.
And she was actually just voted one of the top beer tenders in San Diego.
Yes.
So she came up to us before the show. They had a bunch of tables set up around the stage. It was a nice setup in a back room. And she had a table set up with a reserve sign. And she's like, oh, I reserved this table for all your plus ones. And we were all just like, none of us have plus ones.
Yeah, because
you can
we're
give
so
that table away.
We are not used to being allowed a plus one even sometimes. So no one thought you'd treat us nice. So
but they were awesome. They comped us food and drinks. They're fucking great. That is an amazing place to perform. And more importantly, that audience was that was like the best non-club audience
they
I've
were
ever
great.
Been a part of.
Oh, fantastic. Amazing, amazing. So Burning Beer Brewery, we're going to do it every quarter. Also, if you want to check us out again, the three of us will be all together again. Two dates back-to-back in about 2 weeks. On January 25th, we'll be at The Landing in El Cajon. And the following day, the place where I started comedy for the first time, we're going to be at Winston's in Ocean Beach with Alan Henderson. All three of us, both shows. That's The Landing in El Cajon on January 25th. And Winston's in Ocean Beach on January 26th.
And not just that, Ryan, but after we perform at Winston's on the 26th, there's also going to be a comedy roast. So if you've never seen one of those roast battles that go back and forth, and you were ever interested, come out, see us, stick around for that roast battle.
That's right. All right, let's call it a week. I'm Ryan for Dave and Bobby saying see you next week, cruising with the twos. I haven't laughed that hard since Schindler's List.
Yeah, time passing by. Oh, that time passing by. Oh, motherfucking time is passing by.
Oh my God, I'm a rapist.
Oh yeah, 60-year-old dick, love it.